WBAN, you're listening to www.bix.org, WBAI Radio in Exile. And there's one more thing I wanted to play from the Concerned Friends General Meeting last night. Leslie Kagan. Excuse me. Had opened the meeting of sorts with a report, and so I want to play that before I get out of here. Okay. All right. Stay tuned.
Provokes a question or a thought that you want to comment on later, please, you know, make a note, and then in the discussion period after Annie and Juan speak, I'll also be able to answer questions and, you know, respond to comments. So I just wanted to set that up that way. First of all, I just want to make sure everybody knows that last week there actually was an important development where Valerie Chambers from Texas, from Houston on the national board, who has been consistently with the board majority, agreed to initiate a letter with me. She and I discussed it and drafted, wrote a memo to Bessie Wash about the Democracy Now! Situation. Bessie Wash is the Pacifica Foundation's executive director and therefore in charge of day-to-day operations at all the stations and throughout the network. So we drafted a letter and then sent it to all of the members of the national board. There are now 11 people on the board, asking all and any of those people to also sign the letter with us. In the end, six of us signed on. That is Valerie and myself and the four other dissident board members. The letter went out, the memo went out to Bessie last week by fax and email through various channels, and we're sure she got it. Although we didn't get an answer until late last night, at 1 o'clock in the morning, about a week later. In this memo, we said, as the board majority, since as six of us at 11, we did constitute a majority, we were directing Bessie to take specific and immediate action to alleviate the crisis with Democracy Now! And specifically, we were calling on her to lift the suspensions. As I believe you know, Amy Goodman, the two producers, and the engineer of the show, four people were all suspended without pay. So we were directing her to lift those suspensions, to reinstate them at their full pay, and to give them the pay that they had missed, to let Democracy Now! Broadcast from the off-site location where the daily new shows have been produced and broadcast from, and I'm sure Amy will talk about that more, and to stop playing the old shows, the reruns of the old shows. That this would allow for there to be a serious cooling off period at WBAI, so the situation or safety and harassment and all those concerns could be adequately dealt with. We, as I said, got no answer, either in the form of action or a memo from Beth until late last night, where she basically said they were that she's been working around the clock for a month on this crisis. Lord knows what she's doing. And that Pacifica and AFTRA, the union that represents Amy, had worked out a deal and Amy wasn't living up to it, which is totally false. And again, I'm sure Amy will go into details on that. We are now figuring out what the next step is to follow up on this, but it did represent a significant breakthrough in that Valley Chamber signed on with the rest of us. That's one update. Second is that the board majority, actually, technically, Ken Ford, who is the vice chair of the board, and when David Acosta stepped down in June, he never assumed the title chair. He has still called himself the vice chair. He announced that originally on the 12th, and then it was pushed back a week, on the 19th of September, there would be a board meeting by conference call with one agenda item, and that is to elect new members of the National Board. We, that is the dissident board members and the activist community, clearly do not want that to happen. We think that would undermine a lot of the work we've been doing now, so not the time to do something like that. So we immediately went into, that is we, plaintiffs, of the four lawsuits who all worked together in a very cooperative way, went into high gear and brought before the judge that's hearing motions on all this four different motions. The first one, they're all important, but the first one was a motion to prohibit the election of new directors before the lawsuits are settled. That is, either before trial or should they be settled through negotiations. And by the way, these four lawsuits will all be heard, and the judge will make his decision on the 13th, which is next Thursday, the day after these demonstrations that Ray already mentioned, we'll be talking about more. So, first one was that. Second one was to prohibit the Pacifica Foundation from using its money to pay the individual legal expenses of defendants who happen to be board members, and to require Pacifica to use its insurance coverage and not the listener's money, not the donor's money, to pay for the defense of the foundation. It's a very technical issue, but obviously an important one. The third motion would be to require the foundation to have separate and independent lawyers from the defendant directors. Right now, the same lawyers are representing the Pacifica Foundation and the defendants, who happen to be the board majority. So we want the separate counsel for the Pacifica Foundation to represent independently the interests of the foundation. And the fourth one, which is actually quite controversial, or has become quite controversial in the activist community, is a motion calling for the appointment of a limited receiver to take care of specific and narrowly defined pieces of the foundation's work. The idea being that this person would basically give oversight to the national staff. The national board would still be in place, and this person, court-appointed person, receiver, would have oversight in order to preserve the foundation's resources, in order to avoid wasting the foundation's money, especially, and in order to make sure that that there's an orderly flow of the business of the foundation, the day-to-day business. The specific task that the receiver would be in charge of was one, to restore Democracy Now! To a safe and professional studio at WBAI. Two, to review and oversight and approval of any firings, suspensions, bannings, etc. Three would be to review past firings, bannings, suspensions since December of 2000. Four would be to ensure that WBAI is free of violence, slander, defamation, threats to people, harassment, etc. Five, to ensure that appropriated and unconflicted lawyers represent Pacifica and are paid by the insurance. Again, that the foundation has own lawyers. And six, to review all contracts and services and expenditures, including but not limited to the law firms, PR firms, etc. As I said, this is a controversial issue, the receivership one. The plaintiffs and our lawyers have all felt it was a useful vehicle to bring certain issues before the judge. And specifically to bring before the judge the reality of what's been going on here in New York at WBAI. Because you can't just go to the judge and say, here's a list of atrocities that are being committed at BAI. It's got to be done in the context of some motion. And this was a vehicle that was created to do that. But we have gotten feedback, particularly from the activist community here in New York. Actually, I don't think we've heard from others around the country on this motion. And so are reconsidering the wisdom of, you know, moving ahead with that motion. The decision hasn't been made yet, but the feedback has been taken seriously, and we are in discussions about that. So that's the overview of the what's going on with the board and the legal front. And again, any questions, I think, are going to come up later on.
Quite unlimited with fever. Some people may know we have a coordinating committee of concerned friends at WBAI that meets between these general meetings to take up any policy. So we discussed this motion, and after a lot of consideration and with all respect and appreciation for the great work that the plaintiffs have done in these lawsuits and their lawyers have done as well, we decided to pass a motion on last Monday night to express serious concern that the possibility of appointing a receiver, a limited receiver, by a judge could result in some more levels of difficulty in achieving the kind of gains we want to see as far as reversing all the harmful backsliding that Pacifica has done in the last few months. And without going into in detail, it's just limited to saying from experiences with other nonprofit organizations and unions in which they've gotten receivers appointed, that it can mean that someone is called who has a fairly conservative worldview and has a fair amount of power ceded to them by the judge, and that it can be difficult to remove them once they're in place, and that it might create an extra layer of bureaucracy that might be troublesome to us. So we've respectfully requested that the plaintiffs consider withdrawing this motion before it's argued on the 13th, but that in any case we have this litigation and we'll continue to be in dialogue with them. We also made an ongoing request that there be more direct communication between the plaintiffs and the political movement that is really one of the key factors that's brought the board to the level of victories that we've had in forcing some of them to resign by political pressure. So we hope that we'll see more close dialogue and consultation as they make very important decisions that affect the future of the network. So I just wanted to report on that.
And you're listening to www.wbix.org, WBAI Radio in Exile. And that was Leslie Kagan, followed by Bob Letter, who wanted to express his views on a particular point that Leslie Kagan had raised. Okay. You're wondering what am I laughing about? Well, Errol Maitland is in the background suggesting that that things be played, that if we not